I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello. Welcome, Super Mamas. Welcome, everyone, to the Super Mamas podcast, your favorite podcast with your favorite hosts, Bricia and Paulina Lopez. How is everybody doing? I hope everybody's having a great time. Before we dive in to our conversation for today, I want to remind everyone to follow us on all of our social media, _SuperMamas on Twitter, Instagram, Super Mamas Podcast on Facebook. Share this episode with a friend. You can listen in every platform where you get your podcasts. Support us. Please leave a review. Let us know what you think. Don't be so hard on us. We're doing our best. What's up, sister? What are you doing?
We are all doing our best.
We're all doing our best.
I mean, you want to know exactly what I'm doing?
You're always doing like 10 things at the same time. So I'm not, do I want to know?
I'm ordering sheets for my Airbnb. You know, I'm booked every weekend for the next 13 weekends.
That's awesome.
I know. That's Did you see the pictures of how there's, it's snowy? Wild, huh?
Let's talk about that because we've been in Los Angeles for the past, what am I going to say? Almost 30 years, right? Almost 30 years of our life. And this is the coldest I've been since
I remember? It's giving me El Niño energy. I remember when it was El Niño, we were in high school. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
and it was cold like this, and it snowed.
I mean,
like it's literally snowing in LA.
I'm not a meteorologist. I can't even say the word.
Well, it's crazy. Like this weather, this is not LA weather.
I'm just telling you, it's giving me El Niño energy. I'm not telling you it was like El Niño.
I don't even know what that means, El Niño energy. I thought El Niño was like
El Niño?
Tropical storms and like, you know.
But don't
like,
you remember that when it was El Niño, didn't it pass through LA? Can someone fact check me on this?
I don't even
Producer
know.
Beth, am I tripping here? Anyway, it's been raining. It's been crazy. Yes.
Not only that, but like it's been snowing. It snowed yesterday in LA. I actually have my two children here in the studio with me. In my office with me. It's my studio.
It is your studio.
Because there's so many trees that fell over all over Los Angeles. I was just walking with them this morning and we went to get a hot chocolate because it's been so cold. We were walking on the street around the restaurant and there was like two trees that fell over on Olympic. It was crazy. There was a tree that fell in their school. There was no electricity. There's still no electricity today. The school got canceled. I have two children here with me. Yesterday, I went around your house for work and I was freezing my butt. It was, I had a sweatshirt, a jacket, and it was so cold. You know what? It was colder than when we went on our Christmas vacation to the snow.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I remember when we went on our Christmas vacation to the snow this past Christmas. We went to the snow. We were like, we took all of our gear and everything. Remember when we went? We didn't even use any of it. You know, we used it like once. I think we could bring it out and use it right now, and we would be cool here in Los Angeles.
I mean, listen, I have leg warmers, a thermal pants, sweater, and then a puffer vest.
It's cool. And then what over there at where you are yesterday also se cayó la luz, no?
We had a near death experience here at the office yesterday.
What happened?
Okay, PSA, if you touch an electrical cable from the street, you can die. So just so you
of
all
course
know
you
this,
can.
I don't know. Okay, I
you didn't
know
this.
No, I did not know this.
I mean, of course, it's donde pasa toda la electricidad for the city. What do you mean?
I why do they have this thing that's so, why is this everywhere in the city? But why? And now every time I drive, all I'm going to think about is this thing falling on me and me dying. Why are there some around schools?
There are. They're on my, where I live, there's certain cities where now everything's underground.
You know where everything's underground? In Pasadena, okay? I was driving there and I'm like, why are there, I don't see around these mansions.
Es que los ricos.
Apparently, that's what you pay for.
And I live in South LA, donde no viven los ricos.
I live in Highland Park, La Sereno. There are cables everywhere.
There's cables on my backyard.
That's what
so,
I understand.
So yeah, I mean, I've asked a lot of people. I'm like, is there any way that I can bring those down? It's scary. I mean, with the winds, it's really scary.
I didn't know.
Yes.
I was living my life just happily in the ignorance. And then yesterday the fire department told me, oh no, you can't go near that because someone touches that. And I'm like, what? Huh?
Not only that, but there was a car, right? Someone's car was around there and they couldn't even go near the car, right? Because electricity.
Let's move on. I want to talk about good things, okay? Let's not talk about the weather. We haven't debriefed and I haven't debriefed on purpose because I want you to tell me everything that happened in MasterChef Junior that I missed with our kids, with our children. You took our children to a taping of MasterChef Junior and my son, this is the equivalent of a grown man who loves soccer going to the World Cup. Like,
yeah,
my child is so into chefs and cooking. So please tell me how everything went.
Oh my God. Well, first of all, I cannot tell you everything because, you know,
NDA. Yeah. I don't want to know what happened in the show. I want to know what happened with the kids. Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, our kids, because I took Krista and Sabina and Eddie, our kids were like 3 out of 5 kids that were there, aside from the kids that were participating, of course, but there was no children.
I wonder why, because their NDAs are not very enforceable.
Yeah, and also, it's a long day. It's a really long day. I mean, we got there at 9 in the morning and we left like at 7 p.m. It was like a full day work. They were so excited to get there. Yes, our kids are kids that love, maybe because we're in the food industry, but you know, their heroes are like chefs and their adrenaline pumps when there's like chef competitions and they just want to be there. And we got there, we got on a bus, we went to a studio, which was amazing. And we get there, we're in the audience, we were super close. And then Gordon Ramsay comes out, Aaron Sanchez comes out. It was, their faces lit up. They were like, oh my God, like, there he is. And you know, me, I was like, okay, don't worry, kids, don't worry. I got it. You know, we'll make sure that to talk to him. They took our phones. They took our Apple Watch. They took my Apple Watch, took my phone. They took everything. I felt lost in an island. I was like, oh, I don't even know what time it is. I don't know what's happening out there. Que se cae el mundo. I don't even know. And then there was a part where there was a break for lunch. But right before that, the judges were on the stage. And you know me, La Mexicana, I was like, come on, guys, let's go. This is our time. Let's do it. And I run.
I love it.
And I run to him and I was like, hi. And I was like, hi. I'm like, they are your biggest fans. We made it here. We're missing school. We're missing work because they really want to come. And Eddie was like, can you please sign my sweatshirt? And he was like, are you sure? You want me to ruin your sweatshirt? He was like, you're not ruining it. You're putting your signature in it. Oh, and so Gordon Ramsay signed his sweatshirt, which actually he signed it in a very strategic place where I thought like, I was
very
like, that's
on-brand.
Dope because his sweatshirt is like bright green. So it was really cool. Sabina like pulls out her shirt and she's like, sign my shirt. And you know, he was like, I remember when you and I went to see Enrique Iglesias like a long time ago and we threw clothes at him. Exactly the same. The kids were like, no, sign my thing. And I love the fact that the kids are not shy. You know, there's if anybody has been in a taping like this, there's usually someone that is hyping up the crowd. You know, there's usually someone there kind of making things less boring for the crowd. And this guy was doing a trivia. I love the fact that the kids are like raising their hands, participating, like, you know, fist bumping with adults. Mm. They all walked out with something because the guy was like so impressed that the kids were just like out there, you know, being themselves. And there are the reason why there's not a lot of kids in the audience is because it's a long day and kids cannot stand still. They just cannot. I realize the whole time they have to be moving. I would take things from them, like a bottle, because they would like squish it. And then they would find something else and they start squeezing. Like, I was like, I know, guys, it's a long day. Come on. We got this. So it was. when they were cooking, because there's actually, you know, they are cooking over there, they were like commenting amongst themselves, like, oh, you know, did you see, like, they put salt. Oh, you know, oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, look, look. Oh, oh my God, there's smoke coming out of there. Oh, eh. And then they were like really hyping up the participants. They were like, go, go. You know, they were like, come on, go. Aww. And then they were like just screaming. It was so fun. At the end, they all walked away with things. They got like, Krista got a book. Eddie got like an apron signed by all the chefs.
He told me he won a raffle, and that's how
he didn't win a raffle, but there was a raffle. But because they were the only kids and they were like really into it, the guy was like, hey, you know, like here. So they gave him that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, they were really hyped up. They were really.
He has his apron with all the chefs signed, and he's like so excited. I'm like, how did you score this?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I was like, come on, let's go, let's do it, let's do it, let's talk to them, let's do it. And you know, and we made ourselves be seen. That's what you need to do. You need to make yourself be seen. You need to get out there. And that's what I told them. I'm like, if you want something, you gotta go for it. Come on, you want this? Let's go. Let's talk to them. Don't be shy. Let's go. And they were like, okay. So we went. I remember at the end, there is a bit that they film where they invite kids to participate, right? For the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie turns and he's like, can you please sign me up? And I was like, sure. I was like, I don't have my phone with me. He was like, can you send my mom the link so that she can sign me up? He's like, I can be there. I will be there. And I said, well, what are you going to cook? He was like, I don't know. I'm not going to cook a mole. Why would you cook? He was like, I don't know. I think I would cook all of my favorite Oaxacan dishes. And I was like, okay. And then Krista was like, I would actually be more on the production side. She's like, I think I would be on the production. I really like the production side. And so we already agreed on how we're going to do our company, who's going to do what. They want you to be the judge. And Eddie wants you to be the judge because he says, if my mom's the judge, then she can give me more points and I can win. And I was like, I don't know if that's how it works. I was like, but, you know, we can for sure. We asked what's the minimum age. They agreed that they have a year and a half to get ready for this. So we'll be there.
What was the minimum age?
Eight. Eight is the minimum age.
Oh, he's going to turn 8 in March. So then he can totally, I'm going to sign him up. He's been asking me to. I'm like, I know you can make a fried egg, but I mean, we have a year to like get you on.
I was so impressed at the dishes that these kids presented. Okay, 8, 9, 10 years old. I was so impressed at the dishes. I was like, ni siquiera yo puedo cocinar eso. I'm like, I don't even know how to cook that. Like, that's crazy. And those kids are out there, you know, in the kitchen. There's pressure. They were like, mom, it's real. They do time them. I'm like, yes, it's real.
Yes, it's real.
I'm like, Debrisa had told me about it. Yeah, I was like, Debrisa told me about it, that it's real. So they were like, wow. So they were like, 10, 9. You know, it was very exciting. It was very, very exciting for them. They had a really great time.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, shout out to Carla, our friend, who hooked us up with the taping. It was amazing to see how our kids are so into the chef world, which is crazy. But I guess it's normal, right? I mean, they're around food their whole life. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
I mean, I think there's certain kids who are specifically really into it. We watched, so his favorite chef is Michael Voltaggio.
He told me.
Oh, he told
Yeah, we talked about all this.
We just watched an episode where Voltaggio lost. Polina, I have never seen this child so distraught.
What?
Se puso a llorar. Se puso a llorar.
Really?
Yes. Like, he was like actually crying and was just like, I just can't believe it. Like, he totally won. He deserved to win. Estaba llorando. And then wasn't over. And he was just like, and I was like, are you okay? Like, in the beginning, I thought he was just like being extra. But then I realized like, no, he's real. So I just like hugged him. I was like, it's okay, honey. Like, I was like, he didn't really lose.
We're not losers in the inside.
And he was just like, no, mom, like, I don't understand. Like, he cooked his heart out. He was just like, oh my God. He cooked his heart out. And then he's like, I don't want to watch this anymore. He's like, no. So we had to turn off the TV and I had to like comfort him because Voltaggio lost.
Because Voltaggio lost. I know. And I was like, why is he your favorite? Why is he your favorite chef? I'm like, you know, he has a brother and we're talking about, he's like, yeah. He said, because I don't care what happens, I have to put my signature on this plate. And he was like, I really like that. He really puts his signature on the plate. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't also, another thing, I never realized that there's like, actually, like, there's professional, ¿cómo te digo? Professional audiences? There's professional audience?
Oh.
Yeah, actually, there's such a thing as a, if you are looking for a new career, you can be a professional audience member. So all the people around us were professional audience and they were so intrigued with the kids. They were like, who are these children? Like, why are they having these like in-depth conversations about food and what it tastes like? And, you know, the timing and the term of the meat and the flavors and all. And it was so funny to see. And they were little mini, like everybody was asking them questions. They were like, oh, we can't wait to see you on the show at some point. They were like, yeah, we'll be back. And they were so confident about like, we'll be there. We're going to be there. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. And I was like, yeah, for sure. You guys would totally do this. So it was so fun.
I have to play the message that my son. So then I sent a message to Michael because, you know, him and I know each other like that. I'm going to play the message, the voice message that my 7-year-old son sent to him. Watch.
Hi, I'm Eduardo Maitor and Abricio's son. I just wanted to say you cut your heart out and that's all that matters. And even though that you lost, you're still a winner in my heart.
Oh! I would have totally cried if I was him.
Can you imagine?
Oh, has he met him?
No, he's never met him. But when he does, he's probably going to lose his shit.
I know.
I got to be strategic about this. Michael Bryant thinks probably more like a weirdo. Like, why are you sending me a voice note of your son?
No, I think that's like, that like actually encourages the chefs. It's so cool. It's so cute. He's so cute. It was so fun. So fun. So fun.
Yeah.
So fun. I'm sad you lost it, but you lost it. You missed it, but.
I know. I'm so sad. I would have just loved to seen his face, you know, and just he just really loves food.
Yeah. And also, you know, like it was so cool because at the end, all the chefs approached us and they were like, oh, hi, you know, they were like, oh, my God. And they were like, thank you for coming. And he was fist bumping everyone. And like he just felt very accomplished when he left. He was like, ah, that's it. Like, aww. This is it. This is the path that I want to, I'm sure.
It's the path that I want to take.
This is the path that I want to take. And they're either going to be chefs or he said that he also wants to be a critic.
He says he wants to be a critic. Yeah. He
wants to be a critic.
You know, so now every time we have dinner, he's like, can you present it to me? every day.
Every day you
every
present
day.
His plate.
Every day I present a dish. And every day he tells me what he's thinking, like what he's like doing, like how it tastes. I present dishes, breakfast and dinner.
Aw, so cute.
I know.
Anyway, but I'm excited. I can't wait. Once the episode airs, guys, we'll let you know. Para ver si nos ven ahí en the audience screaming and every time the cameras, it's so funny because every time the cameras would like point at us, they would have smiles on their faces. And they were like, it was so funny. Anyway, we have an amazing episode today, sister. I was very inspired. I mean, every time I'm inspired, but like there's certain guests that I just like, damn, you know, like I really love and I really admire. I don't know her in person, but I really cannot wait to meet her. That's somebody that I would really love to meet in person or guest this week. Please, sister, tell us who it is.
Yes, this week on the show, we have the badass, incredible boss woman, chingona Sandra Velasquez, who is the CEO and founder of Nopalera. I'm sure everyone knows who Nopalera is. Nopalera is a sustainable line of botanicals in the bath and body space, influenced by the Mexican culture and, of course, the Nopal. Her and her company were on the season 14 of Shark Tank, which if you haven't seen that episode, I highly recommend it. We talk about it on the show, of course. So she grew up in California to immigrant Mexican parents. She currently resides in New York, where, you know, and obviously living in California, growing up here, like Nopales were just a thing, just part of her life, which really inspired her to jumpstart this company. She really goes deep into everything. And I think everyone is just going to find so much inspiration and so much respect for this woman. Honestly, you guys are going to love this episode. I loved it. She's incredible. I don't want to tell you everything about her because you're going to learn more. And I think it'll be better if it comes out of her beautiful voice. But yeah, without further ado, here is our interview with Nopalera founder, Sandra Velasquez.
And stay tuned after for our pick or tip of the week. Welcome to the show, Sandra. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you guys.
Girl, your Shark Tank episode. Before we get to anything, we just need to like talk about this. Because iconic, incredible. I mean, we had a little party here. Not a party. I'm not going to lie and say I had a party. But a watch party of two, me and my husband.
That's legit.
We sat down, I had my glass of wine, I had my Doritos with tapatio, and I was like, let's do this. That's a party to me. But I was so impressed and honored to call you a friend and to have met you and to know you, and you made us so proud. Can we talk about this, your experience from your point of view?
Well, should we have her introduce herself or no?
Oh, right. Yes. She doesn't need to introduce. We've already introduced
her. Well, we already introduced you, but no need to introduce you.
Yes.
But before we get into that, because that's what everybody wants to hear, but for those super mamas that still don't know for some weird reason who you are, please tell them who you are, who you live with, where you're at. Mm-hmm. Just all things Sandra. Tell us a little bit about you on your own words, please.
Okay, here's a Cliff's Notes version. So my name is Sandra Velasquez. I am originally from San Diego, California, which is where I'm at right now in this moment, actually, for work. But I live in New York. I've been in New York City for 23 years, which is a really long time to be away from Chicano Mexican culture. But I was originally a professional musician. So that was what I thought I was going to do my whole life. I was the lead singer of a Latin band called Pistolera. You know, I released albums, I toured, and I had no inclination to become an entrepreneur, let alone a beauty brand owner. But here I am. So Nopalera makes bath and body products with Nopal, obviously. That's why it's called Nopalera. And we're in, I don't know, 500 stores across the country. And most recently was on Shark Tank.
Okay.
That's a Cliff Notes version.
Yes. There's so much to unpack there.
You've lived like three lives, basically.
For real. I mean, so much. There's so much to unpack. But let's start from what just happened, which is the Shark Tank. A ver, cuéntanos, how did you get there? What is it like? Please tell us everything. Tell us about your experience on Shark Tank.
When you apply, I just applied online on the website because I had no contacts or connections. I applied and then I got a call back. And then from that point up until like the time that you film is a long time. Like it's people don't realize it's months, right? I applied like last March of 2022 and I didn't film until July. So that's a really long time of preparation.
Girl, that's more than a year.
Yeah.
It was like the whole year, right? You prepare with the producers, you have video audition tapes, everything is vetted, right? Like they had to send in pictures of my outfit, of my earrings, of my tattoos, of everything.
Of your tattoos?
Because they
saw legal reasons.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long process. Then it's like go time and you're there in the tank. And it goes by really quick. They don't let you bring your cell phone into the green room. So I have no idea how long I was in the tank. I could have been in there for 5 hours. I could have been there for 5 minutes. It like flies by.
But what is it? Do you also have to submit a business plan? Like what is it? Like on that side, I'm always just curious. Mm-hmm. What is it that you need to give? Like what are they looking at? Like are they looking at your whole life? Le tienes que mandar tu cuenta de banco, que tus passwords, que les tienes que dar?
I mean, basically, yes, because it's all like liability. They need to make sure I own the formulas. I have the intellectual property. I'm not stealing someone else's ideas. They need to see your financials. It's like, honestly, not different than talking to actual like raising capital from venture capitalists. And so it's like, yes, all of your financials. Let me see your trademarks. Let me see your corporate documents. Send us your forecast. Send us literally the same information that you need to fundraise. And then you have to keep updating them because every time, you know, you're meeting them on Zoom, like every week, every 2 weeks. And they're like, has anything changed? Have you added anyone to the cap table? Like, has anything changed? Have you been sued? Right. So yeah, it's a lot of like combing through your underwear drawer, you know?
Mm-hmm. So do you just get, so from March to July, do you schedule monthly calls with them? So they follow your journey? Is that what happens?
it's like weekly calls. I wish it was monthly. What? It's like weekly. Yeah, it's like a part-time job. People don't realize how much preparation goes into it. And so it's like weekly calls. They prepare you. And every week they give you homework. Okay, so next week we need you to submit your final draft of your pitch, right? Then they help you refine the pitch, right? Because you have to memorize it, right? You're not reading from a prompter. Everyone has to memorize their pitch. And so that gets crafted, right? Okay, let's assemble your display. We have to cover our own display. Like, they're not paying for that, right? So we have to cover...
What?
Yeah.
Girl, the network's not helping out with the displays?
They're not paying for it. No. Here's some nurseries. If you want to rent some nopales and you want to have them shipped in, like, here's some places. So I actually just went to my own nurseries because I was already in San Diego. So I would like drove up to LA. I dropped them off at the studio. And, you know, I had to like go to around a lot of nurseries to find the like nice looking nopales. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Wow.
Like that were big, right? That were big. Then weren't going to look like wimpy. So yeah, they did connect me with like a photo studio to have my photos blown up, but we pay for it, right? They're not paying for it. So yeah, you cover the whole display. So all that has to get assembled and, you know, vetted. And then it's like the outfit has to get vetted. Then there's a lot of like just more rehearsals. Okay, now practice your pitch in front of us, right? Because every brand gets assigned a set of producers. And so I had like two women. They were awesome. And it's all just preparing you, right? Because once you're there, like not everyone has experience being on television or speaking in public or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they have to prepare people. For me, I was very fortunate because I used to be the lead singer of a band. So I'm like, give me the microphone. But it's still a different experience because you're on a soundstage. And one thing that no one prepared me for was how dead quiet it was.
Ooh. Oh, that is scary, nervous. Like, no, there's no like...
There's no feedback, right? There's no like oohs and ahs. It's just you.
There's no music. There's no applause. There's no nothing. So you really have to bring it. You have to like over emote because you're in a dead, silent soundstage.
I would love to know how you... I mean, I know you said that you were a lead singer before and you love the microphone, but I think this is different, right? This is, como se dice, negociando tu futuro, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did you prepare for something like that? First of all, like just going on a website and like be like, I'm going to do it, you know, like just putting yourself out there takes a lot. But like, how did you mentally prepare? How did you get to that space where you were like, all right, let's do it. Vámonos.
Fortunately, I was also like, so I applied back in March, right, of 2022. And by the time I went to go film, I had already started to actually fundraise for real. So I was already deep in fundraising mode. I was having cold pitch calls. I was having to present my pitch deck. So I was already in that mode. And the hardest thing when you're raising money for the first time is how to value your company, right? People are like, what's the valuation? When, okay, I don't know. Like, well, I don't know. And so it's so hard because you have to project into the future, right? Like what you think it's going to become, what is the market size? So I was already deep in that. And that's one of the hardest things I think on Shark Tank is a lot of the brands that go on there are not ultimately going to scale their companies and raise more money because there's no way that they could give away 30% of their company for like $100,000 and then go on to like raise more. You know what I'm saying? Because now you've just nailed in your valuation at a super low valuation when you do that. So that's the thing. That's like, eso es el chiste, right? That you have to, that's the trick is like, I knew that I had a ceiling when I went in there. I couldn't just say yes and like give away 30% of my company for $300,000 because then it was going to prevent me from raising more money, you know, because I was in a fundraise, right? So that's the trick.
So let's back up a little bit because we're talking about what you just did, but let's back up of how you got here. Let's start talking about Nopalera from how you got there, how you started
to your
Nopalera.
First soap, girl.
From your first soap to now being where you are, you know, you just told us you were a lead singer. So like, how does a lead singer go from like music to now being like a beauty guru?
Yeah, you know, because I live in New York, which is you have to like have five jobs to live there because you can't just have one because it's really expensive. And so even though I was a musician, I always had day jobs. I found myself unemployed like for the first time in my adult life. And so I'm like, I was actually here visiting my parents at the time. So this was like the summer of 2019.
Oh, wow. Not so long ago.
No. I mean, I launched Nopalera in 2020, right? We're only two.
Girl.
So I'm here. It's 2019. I'm like, okay, I'm 43. I have no savings. I have student loan debt. I have credit card debt. How in God, how did I get here? You know, how is it that I'm here at this age and I have like nothing? What do I have to show for it? And so I realized like it was one of those moments where it's like scary, where you're like, I'm either going to take a big leap in a whole other direction to create a different reality, or I'm just going to go and try to keep doing the same shit over and over.
Right.
And so I knew that like with the skill set that I had, there was just no way I could go get another quote unquote day job that would somehow change my life. So I was like, the answer is, ahora te toca, Sandra. Like, this is the chance. It's like how diamonds are made. It's through pressure. It was that pressurized moment. I'm going to have to go and like build something. That's like, that's going to be the only way out. And so that was the moment where I was like, okay, I'm going to build this brand. I want to build a high-end Latina brand. I'm going to call it Nopalera, because I was literally standing here at my parents' house. They have a Nopalera in the front yard like everyone does.
Yeah.
So I'm going to center the entire brand around this plant that we all know, that we all recognize.
Right.
And that also happens to be this wonder plant. Like, oh my God, we've just taken it for granted. And to me, like all, like the whole divine download was just, I can't believe this plant has been here my entire life. I've been eating it my whole life. It's abundant, it's resilient, it's sustainable, it's versatile. And like, it's just been overlooked. And like, what a metaphor for us as a people, right? Like just Latinos in this country, just resilient over here, right? In the corner, just being taken for granted. Like, oh yeah, you know? So I was like, this is the plant that I'm going to make the whole brand around.
Yeah.
And so I learned how to make soap because, you know, soap is like the gateway drug. You know what I'm saying? It's like common for people to learn how to make soap. And so that was the first thing. And
that's how I know I will never be a beauty founder, because I don't even know how to make soap, but good to know.
It's not too late, Bricia. It's not too late.
Wait, Sandra, I love this story, but let me back up, and I hate interrupting people. I vowed that I wasn't, but here I am. Okay. Did you move to San Diego, or were you still living in New York? Or were you just visiting your parents?
Yeah, I was still living in New York, just visiting my parents.
Now, I know how connected you are to your ancestors, how connected you are to your spirit, how centered you are. This is just a part of your spirit. It's very, very connected. Was this just really a moment where you just, again, pressure, what am I doing with my life? What's happening? And you look out and it just hit you that that vision, that really is what happened? Because I want to go back to that moment, because it's so special.
I know. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, it really was like that. Probably if I could rewind time, it maybe was like 2 week period, but it was very much like a moment in time. And once I had the idea, it wasn't like, oh, let me sleep on it. Let me think about it. Oh, I don't know. I was like, no, this is what I'm doing, because I was this moment of, how come no one else has already done this? That was the feeling that I legit had. I was like, how come this doesn't already exist? And then I felt a responsibility. Then I felt like nervous, like, oh, damn. I have to do this, because if I don't do this and it's not like Latina owned, it doesn't come from us, then like Johnson & Johnson or Procter & Gamble is going to come and try to do this, and it's going to be hella inauthentic. So it really was a moment. Also, because my day job was, at that time, I was unemployed. Before I was unemployed, I was working in sales for other brands. And so I was in stores and I was like seeing what was going on in stores. And I'm like, okay, I see like Shea Moisture. I see Nubian Heritage. I see Alafia. Like, I see the African brands like taking up shelf space. Where in God's name are the Latinos? There are more of us in this country than anyone else.
Right.
And I'm like, how come I just don't see us? Like, where are the brands in Spanish? When you call any customer service agent in this country, it's para español presione dos. It's not like for French press two.
For real.
I don't get it. Like, why are we not already there? And why has this not been done? So I'm like, okay, it's going to have to be me. Yes. Big jump from like, you know, lead singer to beauty brand. But in Pistolera, I was doing, it was the same mission. I was singing in Spanish. It was like promoting culture. It was like telling our stories. And so it was like, I just moved the mission over to a product. It wasn't like all of a sudden I became bold with my mission. It was like the same. And then thank God, because then COVID
the car changed. You were still driving it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, there's just so much, right? I think you say it's never too late. You can make your own path. Mm-hmm. You can literally decide in one moment in time that you're going to change everything. I think people are always like, well, you know, if this happens, I will do this. And it only takes one moment, one decision, and action. Because you could have said, oh, I love that nopal. Oh, how come nobody ever done it? Oh, let me go and keep looking for a job. You know what I mean? And see what happens. But you said, no, I have this. I know this happened. And then I have to take action. I think that is so important that we highlight that, because I'm really good in my faith. I'm really big on my faith too. And people are like, pues que Diosito me ayude. I'm like, yeah, pero también ayúdate tú.
Yeah.
You cannot stand still and just be like, things are going to come, you know, like you have to keep moving. You have to like, it's just the beauty of the movement of just like the way the energy flows and moves around. It's just, you should stay still to think, but then like, make a movement, you know, and it's not, and that's what you did. And I love that, because you changed, you pivoted, like you said, it's the same mission. It just looks very different. And I think that that's really inspiring, because it doesn't have to look like it looks right now. You can create a whole other alternative life, just being yourself still. and, you know, creating and believing in your mission, the mission that you have. I love that.
So 2020 comes and you're like, let me get this nopal and make soap. You learn how to make soap. Google University, YouTube University, go. I want to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah. So I learned how to make soap. And then I enrolled in formulation school. So there's a school called Formula Botanica that's based in the UK. And I got served an ad on Facebook, and thank God, like, they were targeting me because I was like searching for ingredients, right? So like the internet
See?
Knew.
All right. Shout out to targeted ads out there.
Okay. I miss those days when like they knew who we were, you know?
Facts.
Yeah. So I enrolled in formulation school and I studied formulation for like 9 months while I was working on the brand, because I didn't really know what the products were going to be yet, mm-hmm. to be honest. I was like, am I making skincare? Am I making shampoo? I don't really know what I'm making yet. I just know what the mission is, right? The mission is like, I'm going to build this bold Latina brand. It's going to be, I'm going to make it irresistibly gorgeous so that even white people want it, right? Like, you're just going to want it because it's beautiful, but like low key, secretly, all of us are going to know exactly what it is. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. All the Latinas are going to see themselves in it right away, but it's going to be so aspirational that other people are going to want it just because it's beautiful. They're going to be interested, yeah. right? And intrigued. And so, you know, in formulation school, I had to learn how to make all sorts of things to pass. And then ultimately I settled on Bath and Body because I just felt like that's really where the opportunity was, because skincare is so oversaturated and so many beauty founders want to go to skincare because everyone wants to do skincare. But I legit don't really have a passion to fix people's faces. Like, that's not what I want to be known for. Like, oh, thank God Sandra, you know, nos quitó las manchas, or like, you know, like your wrinkles. Like, that's not the impact that I want to make in the world. Cause also people are already doing that really well. Like, the big brands are already doing that really well. So for me, I was like, I can really get behind like the ritual of what happens in the shower and just that. And also just personal care in general, to me, is like so practical, because all of us take showers, right? Like, we all wash, we all brush our teeth. We hope.
Not my kids.
We hope. We
Not
hope.
My kids. Not my kids.
We can dream. So I like that concept, because I'm also just very like a practical person, honestly. Like, I don't like to make stuff just to make stuff. It has to be used. Like, what's the purpose? So yeah. And then I built all through that, right? Through 2019, going into 2020. And then the pandemic happened and I was like, well, this train is moving. So it did not occur to me like, oh, there's a pandemic. Let me delay the launch. Or I was like, no, the packages are on their way. My house looks like a freaking warehouse now. And so we're going to go. And luckily it worked out, because during the pandemic, we all ended up being home. And so everyone was ordering everything to their house. So the minute I turned on the web store, it was like the orders.
And you were in New York.
In New York. Yeah. And I was shipping everything from my Brooklyn apartment, still making the things in my apartment. My boyfriend was my shipping manager. My local post office like hated us. They were like, why do you bring us these boxes every day? Who are you people? But that's how it started. And then eventually, obviously, like really soon, like within the first 3 months of business, I outgrew my house because I needed to get my kitchen back for like actually cooking and not like a lab. And so I had to go find a little studio.
Were you making these soaps, or did you source them out to a company?
I didn't know how to find a company, Patricia. Like, I was such an industry outsider. I was like, I'm just going to have to make the damn things myself, because I don't even know how to find a co-packer. So you found
molds?
I had custom molds made.
With your logo.
So I drew the nopal, like the shape of our soap. Mm-hmm. I drew that. Like, I literally just traced one from my parents' yard. I was like, okay, this is the penca. And then I had to go find someone who made molds. And then I had molds made. And so I was pouring the soaps by hand in my house for the first year.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? I did not know. And you were stamping each one of them, or did the mold already come with the image?
No, the mold comes with like a debossed. So like the soaps don't have a logo, but the lotion bar does have a little logo, and you have to order the molds like that way. So yeah, so we're not stamping, but we are hand pouring. So it's like making cupcakes.
Oh, I could swear that my soap has your embossed in it, but maybe I'm just tripping and imagining that. Okay, never mind. Okay, go.
Yeah, so it took me all the first entire year to find a co-packer. And that was a huge milestone. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe someone can make these and not me. Thank you. Thank you, sweet baby Jesus.
So then after a year, you found the co-packer.
Yes. And then I was able to like get out of the hospital scrubs. I was literally living in hospital scrubs, like covered in oils all day, you know, like in my studio. So that was like a great way to close out the first year, just 2021. And we did over $500,000 in sales that year. So that was also,
you
I surpassed
did
my-
What the what?
You did 500K out of your apartment?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot of, that's a lot of soaps.
That's a lot of soap.
Oh my God. Tell me about it. It's like, how many enchiladas have you made, Patricia? Like, can you count?
At this moment, did you have someone assist you?
I did have to hire an assistant to help me. I had to train them, right? Which again, it's so hard when you're doing everything yourself. You have to stop and teach something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to stop and teach something to someone. And so that was a good learning experience. So like, it really taught me to like create SOPs, which is like my least favorite thing to do in the world. But I was like, this has to be done. I have to like write out SOPs for everything. How do you do this? How do you make that? And then, yeah, I had to hire assistants to come and basically help me make the soap. But I was the only one that was making...
For, you know, asking for a friend. I mean, obviously, I know what SOP means. But for those that don't know what SOPs are, can you elaborate?
Yes. An SOP stands for Standard Operating Procedure. And it's just literally directions. So how does
como
one...
Como una receta.
How does one... Yeah. How, like, tell me how to make the mole enchiladas, right? Like... Tell me how to close up your restaurant at night, right? It's just a step-by-step, like, don't forget to turn off the lights, put up the chairs, do this, do that, do that, in this order. And so you have to create a sheet for that, for like literally everything in your business. How do you ship an Amazon order? How do you talk to customers when they complain? How do you, whatever.
It's like a manual.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I want to like just ask something, because there's a lot of people out there trying to start a business. And then you said, turn on the website and it just started selling.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how did you put the word out there? How do I turn on my website and I start? Do I just sit back and wait for people to show up?
No, you don't. You do the pregame work. You do the tasty drip, right? So once I had the logo, then I started to
launch.
Yeah, the soft launch. Just telling people, posting it. Like I opened the Instagram account, right? Like if you go back to the very, very first Novaleta Instagram post, it's like a render, because like I didn't even have product photography, right? So I just had a render. Like here's what it's gonna look like, and then
here is what it might look like.
Yeah, it might look like this. It's gonna look different in real life. And I started to run targeted ads, because those were the sweet days of when you could run targeted ads, where it was like, show this goddess logo to Latinas who live in Dallas, Houston, Austin, Chicago, Los Angeles, who like, you know, guelaguetza, salsa, mole, human rights, and travel. And it would do that, right? And it would do that. And so those days are over. And nopales, right? And so hopefully I was attracting the people that were already aligned, those women that could see themselves, right? They're like, oh, I know what this is. And so I had like 800 people on my email list before I launched. So when I launched, I had someone to launch to. Mm. And so then it's just snowballs, right? Because then those people start to get their orders. They start like posting pictures of their unboxing. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of spreads from there.
Yeah. I mean, it is beautiful. You did an incredible job. I'm a customer, not only online, you can look up my orders if you want, but also every time I go to Joshua Tree, there's a couple little stores where I grab them, because I know mm-hmm. how important it is for the product to move in stores and not just online. So every time I try to see it in a retailer, I go ahead and buy it in the retailer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you for sharing all of that. Brisa and I are always very open about the struggles of running a business. And mm-hmm. when we took over the restaurant many, many moons ago, there was none of this. No one was sharing information. There was mm-hmm. no one to talk to. There was no one to ask any of these questions. And we were just like, running around trying to figure out how to survive. And I think it's so important that we share this with people, because I think people don't realize, well, one, what it takes, how much work it is behind it, but also that it is possible, and that whatever you want to do, there's just certain things that you need to do along the way to mm-hmm. create whatever it is that you want to create. And sometimes they just don't even know where to start. So mm-hmm. this is why, you know, we love to share stories like yours, because people, even if they're like, I probably want to do something, pero no, me da miedo or something, mm-hmm. then they're going to mm-hmm. listen to your story and be like, no, I can do it. Okay. You know, like, mm-hmm. let's go. So, mm-hmm. and that's what we need. We need more Latinas putting businesses out there. We need to like, mm-hmm. you know, get louder. We need to create more mm-hmm. things. We need to just, you know, show our, the power that we have, and, mm-hmm. you know, be the next people on Shark Tank like Sandra.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, you know, one thing I always want to remind people, because a lot of people out there like want to start a business, but they're like, oh, I don't have money to do that. Okay. So I had no money, because remember, I was unemployed, student loan debt, credit mm-hmm. card debt. I am
mom. How much money in debt did you, how much in debt did you have?
I had $86,000 in student loan debt and 30,000, like 30 to 35,000 in personal debt.
Jeez.
Yeah. And no savings, right? Because again, I had just been surviving.
You can't have savings. Yeah. And a child.
My daughter was 13 at the time. Now my daughter's 15. Teenagers, they need stuff. I know, right? Now she does. She works for me. Yeah. She's my research assistant. Yeah. I'm like, go. I need you to go research the market.
No, 13-year-olds need a lot.
Yes.
And they eat a lot.
They eat a lot. Bricia, they eat so much.
Like, my 11-year-old eats a lot. I don't know. Yeah. No idea.
I know. It goes, like, disappears. But my point is that I use my credit card. I use my American Express card to fund everything. I paid for my branding on my American Express card. I asked for payment plans wherever I could. And so I just like to tell people that, again, transparently, because you don't have to wait for all the money to arrive for you to begin. You just need to take the step forward and then figure it out as you go.
I love talking numbers, too, just because I always talk about my personal debt and like our personal struggles too, just because there's so many people out there with that and they think like that's it and they can never escape. But you are such an example of what can be done with sheer just resistance and God-driven action of like connected to your mission and what you needed to do. And I know that it's really hard. I mean, sometimes I find difficult this whole thing, like do what you love, right? And like, it'll come, right? It's really difficult because sometimes you're like, I don't know what I love. I don't know what my passion is. I don't know what it is. And it changes. That can change too. But I think for you, it's just, I think your passion isn't to make soap, then your passion is to contribute to the culture. Your passion is to elevate or Latinidad in a different level. I the tweet that you put out, I love so much. Why people don't blink at a cost of a French soap, right? There's a French soap and it's like, I'll pay $30 for a French soap. But you get to see a Mexican soap, you're like, $2.99. I'll get adobo or dial, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the struggle I have with Mexican food, right?
I know. You're in the same thing with like in a different category, right? Like, why is this taco so much money? It's like, why is that croissant so much? You know,
exactly.
Like, do you know what goes into making mole?
why do you have to pay more for a croissant than a concha? Like, why is it like a croissant? Like, do you know the level of artistry that it is to make a real concha that is crispy on the outside and airy and fluffy that when you eat it, you don't even notice? It's the same technique as a croissant.
I know.
Maybe we should call it concha.
So we're like, no. I think the thing is here, because I've always said it, for better or for worse, and I've always said in the next decade, people will refer to Oaxaca the same way they refer to Paris. People will definitely romanticize that, like, Emily in Paris is going to be like Emilia in Oaxaca. Like, that's what it's going to be. Fashion Week is in Oaxaca now. Like, all these things are happening. It's slowly, but it's changing. And that will just distribute through the country. And before you know it, it's going to be like Europe, who, what? It's going to be Mexico, Central America. And you are in the perfect position because you're the first day one there to be able to understand and open doors for many other women who are going to just thrive in this industry. But this is such a great segue for me. All that to say, for everyone out there listening, all our super mamas, I'm not saying don't support other brands. I'm saying appreciate and learn where your money goes. Be very thoughtful, be very smart on where you shop and what you shop and who owns these brands. Because some people might be like, I don't know, es que está muy cara esa en la jamón de nopalera. Like, what a luxury. Girl, you're out there drinking your latte that costs $7. Girl, you're out there, you know, buying your Oxyton at the mall for $20. That is they're just selling you, you know, parabens. But because it's pero porque dice Occitane, no sé ni cómo se, I don't even know how to pronounce it, right?
It's like the harder it is to pronounce, the more expensive it is, right?
That's what I was saying. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I know. But I don't think it's like changing our name. It's like being proud of who we are, right? So
yeah, no.
It's like, girl, get it right and be thoughtful where you put your money.
And, you know, and on that point, I mean, I feel like sometimes the people, oftentimes, I'm going to say the people that have complained about prices are Latinas. And it's like this, it's really sad. It's like this crabs in a barrel mentality. It's like, well, real Latinas can afford that.
Girl,
okay, what in the hell does that mean? Like, real Latinas need to stay poor? Is that what that means to be really a Latina? Like, you drag us all down with that mentality.
Yeah.
This, like, this fear that somehow if we succeed, we're somehow no longer connected to our roots is complete garbage.
Yeah.
More of us need to succeed, right? More of us need to open more doors. More of us need to be in those positions of economic power so we can continue to help everybody else. Help them, right? And so it hurt my feelings in the beginning, like it stung, but now like I just use it as fuel for the fire. I'm like, the fact that you think that just makes me lean into this even more. Like, in fact, let me go raise my prices.
Okay. Add a zero to that bank account. Okay. No, I completely relate to what you're saying. And I love that you're out there again, spreading the gospel, but not just that, but because you say true to yourself. You also say, and I adore that of you, that you're just you. And again, you're so connected to the culture, to everything, and bringing it back to, you know, when I first came and talking about your Shark Tank episode was so important. And I think it really raised the awareness and it raised so much of a pride to be able to say no to a white man. Because siempre, like the story is, sí, señor, como... Y como quiere su huevo, you know what I mean? Sí, señor.
Y para servirle, y para servirle.
Sí, señor, clase, y para servirle. So like that was just such a milestone and I loved it and you were the real winner and I'm sure you're going to continue to succeed and I'm very proud to call you a friend, an hermana, and thankful for your time for coming on the show. Super mamas, go buy the soap.
Please.
I always gift it on Christmas.
Oh, thank you. And I... You know, the thing I hope that people in our community took away from Shark Tank is that we are the opportunity. So like, oh, you don't want to come and participate on this amazing rocket ship that I'm building, Kevin O'Leary? Then okay, that's fine for you. But I'm giving you the opportunity, not the other way around. Because, you know, Shark Tank, I went in there asking for $300,000 for 5%. And they wanted to,
or
they
600% or 600K for 10%, which was my favorite like clapback. I was like, yes. And I love that
they were like, wait, what?
They're like, what? Like they had to, yeah. I'm like, you can do the math real quick. If I could do the math, you can do the math.
Yeah. 2 months after Shark Tank, I filmed it, right? It didn't air just till, you know, last month. But after I filmed it, I went on to raise $2.7 million, right? And had to give away a lot less equity for that much money, which is now allowing us to truly scale. And so just to say that we oftentimes make decisions out of fear where we're like, oh, this is the only chance I'm ever going to get. Mm. Oh, someone is asking me to marry them. Someone's offering me money. Like, this is it. If I don't take this chance, that's it. But actually, there's always more. There's always more on the other side. And so like, if you know that you deserve more, that you are worth more, don't settle. Because for me, like I'm 46, like I've been married and divorced twice, right? So the only times I've ever been regretful in my life are when I have settled.
Preach, sis. You've never met someone who's regretted a divorce. You've never met someone who's regretted a divorce.
I will be expecting that book, you know, with everything that you're just saying, because I love it. I wanna kind of like listen to you para echarme ganas every day, because I think like... It takes a lot to stay in that mental place. Having a business weighs you down. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, running a business is very emotionally draining as well. It takes a lot of work to stay in a positive mindset.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my sister the other day about it. And I said, you know what? Like for so long, I think like I operated out of fear mm-hmm. and like it showed, right? It showed around. And now I mean, just trying to stay away from that mentality and stay in that like, you know, mindset. And yeah, there's so many times where I'm just like, oh, yeah, like, what is the point of this? Mejor me voy, ya voy a dejar todo. You know, there's those days where I just want to like leave everything and run away. But then there's other days where I'm like, let's go, you know? And yeah. like, it's really hard to stay in that mentality. And I love what you're saying. I love, like, you filled me up with this energy right now just speaking with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, Alina, I think that's like to your earlier point about why it's so important for us to have these conversations out in the open. It's also really important for us as like women entrepreneurs, as Latinas, to be surrounded by other Latin entrepreneurs. You need to hang out with other women who are also building, who are in the same thing, right? Of striving for something, right? Because that's part of like helping you stay in that mindset, that growth.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Woohoo! Well, we should get together. I would love to like sit down and chat.
Yes,
and
we are definitely doing a pop-up in April at one of our Stockists, Prelude and Dawn. In April, so we're gonna.
Also, this is the first time I realized you live in New York. Sandra, I forever thought you lived in East LA.
I mean, that's because I should. Okay, that's because I really should. If I'm an anomaly, like I'm alone.
I'm like, yeah, Sandra lives in.
I know
she lives right down the street from. Like,
oh my
Sokol.
God! I really should. I really should. People in New York are like, "What's a Chicana?" Like literally. They don't know.
Oh my God! Well, thank you so much for this amazing conversation. I am so excited to have finally met you. I know you and Brisa probably like know each other, but in person, I don't have the pleasure of meeting you in person. I cannot wait to meet you in person. And this was an amazing conversation. Please let our super mamas know, where can they find you? Where can they follow you? How can they support Nopalera? How can we help you grow? Anything that you want to put out there, please let us know.
Yeah. So Nopalera, you can find us online, nopalera.co. It's also our Instagram handle. We're also on TikTok. We're in boutiques all over the country, like over 400 of them. But we always love people coming to our website because we have more fun stuff there. And, you know, we're at Nordstrom, Credo. And yeah, follow us and follow our journey. We love to share our journey transparently, also just to inspire the community and really stay in touch, you know, stay connected. So thank you guys.
Thank you so much. No, thank you. It was such a fun conversation and we cannot wait to have you back. Super Mamas, please stay tuned for our Super Mama pick or tip of the week. And we are back with the pick or tip of the week. Dude, I love Sandra so much. I can't believe she started. The company is like not even 3 years old. It's crazy, crazy. Anyway, do you have a pick or tip for this week?
Yeah. So there's like a little, well, let's see. Actually, I don't. I'm unprepared. Ah, no. I know what I'm going to make my pick. I'm like, I'm unprepared, but never mind. I know what I'm going to be. Okay. So our girlfriend, who I hope we have on the show very soon to promote her book, Linda Garcia, just launched a book called Wealth Warrior. If y'all are not familiar with Linda, she's been on the show before. And she just published her first book, Wealth Warrior, 8 Steps for Communities of Color to Conquer the Stock Market. It is going to be published on April 11th, but I highly encourage everyone to please pre-order. And everywhere books are sold, you know, it's a big deal for authors to have a good push and pre-order. So please, this is my shout out for Linda and her book, Wealth Warrior.
Shout out to Linda. She will be on the show soon. So look out for that episode. I can't wait to have her on the show again because she's been here before. My tip this week, it's going to be inserts for your shoes. I didn't realize how much difference it made when mom was here a few weeks ago. In Oaxaca, I was going to say Oaxaca, here in LA, we went to get insoles. She is going to be taking a long trip where she's going to be doing a lot of walking. And I had forgotten like how much of a difference insoles for my shoes had made for me. And I was talking to her and I was telling her about it. And back in 2021, when we had to come on full force back to the restaurant and I was on my feet like 14 hours a day, it was really taxing on my body. Mm-hmm. And I remember someone recommended, there's a store here in California, in Los Angeles, called Road Runners. I'm sure there's many of these all over the country, many different ones, different brands. Yeah. So you go there and they actually put you in this machine where they measure your feet in a 3D. Then they put you in a thread. So you walk and they take a video of your feet and they tell you exactly how your feet move when you walk. And I have flat feet. So I like running. So sometimes I idealize the shoes that I wanted to wear. When I went, they told me, you absolutely cannot wear those shoes. And they told me what kind of shoes I needed to wear.
So which shoe did you not wear?
I cannot wear any really thin, like the dope Nike, the runs and stuff. I can't. I have to wear like really thick heel shoes because I have flat feet. And my insoles actually help me maintain my feet like straight. Fernando got some when we went. Mom got some when we went. I got some. I got some more when we went. And as soon as mom put him in her shoes, she was like, oh, like, wow, this makes a huge difference.
Oh, I need to go.
Yeah, because we wear shoes all the time. Sometimes, I don't even know if you know this, guys, but sometimes we're wearing the wrong size of shoes. I've been wearing the wrong size of shoes for like most of my life until recently. Our brother Fernando also recently found out that he was wearing the wrong size of shoes. So sometimes
wrong size, you know,
sometimes we think, oh my God, my feet hurt, whatever. There's a problem with our feet, but it's because we're wearing the wrong size of shoes. So I highly recommend you guys doing this. The whole thing where you get on the thing is free. You only pay for the insoles. They're about $80. But trust me, they make such a big difference. You can put them inside any shoes, any kind of shoes. You have to wear them all the time and it makes a huge difference. If you're working out, it just makes a huge difference. So highly recommended. I think it's going to make a big difference in your just overall, you know, overall health. We're all about being healthier, better, improving ourselves. a better version of ourselves every day.
All right.
I think that's all I have for you today, sister.
Amazing. All right.
Amazing. We will see you next time. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love, and
see you next week, supermamas!